Hello, I'm Martin Brown from Martin Brown's Marketing Bugle podcast, helping you market your business online. Thank you for listening. There are e-learning courses and other bonuses that you can take for free, which are associated with this series of podcasts. Visit my website, martinbrown.com, for details. That's Martin with a Y. You can also join my monthly magazine, Digital Bugle, which is downloadable every issue by subscribing to my email updates.
This time, we're going to be doing a deep dive with a guy who is absolutely crushing it in direct marketing. But Ryan Allaire's story starts out when he and his family were living in a cramped motel room. So I think this is going to be a really fascinating and inspirational conversation. He's also one of the most energetic guys you're ever going to meet. Ryan, it's a real pleasure to connect with you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's such great to be here and so awesome to be here.
Well, I'm really looking forward to chatting with you, Ryan, because your story couldn't be more rags to riches. Is it true you got started in marketing at just the tender age of 13?
Yes, it is. And you're right. It's kind of the cliche, you know, rags to riches story, which, you know, I kind of struggle with because I'm like, oh, it's just another, you know, story. But to me, it's been a unique experience. It started at the age of 13. Like you said in the intro, growing up in a motel room is a true story. I grew up we lived out of a motel room for a while, grew up in Florida, and we were there for probably over a year, closer to two. And, you know, it was a humbling time. You know, my parents always struggled with making money. And, you know, I've always watched them struggle with that. And then I had a friend and his parents, and it was like the complete opposite. It's like everywhere we went, it's like money was just running into them, right? And they right. couldn't repel it. It was just so interesting how I would watch someone struggle and someone make it so effortlessly and have multiple nice vehicles and multiple homes and, you know, vacation homes and had multiple states and, you know, just this completely different life because here we are trying to make it in a motel room. And then my parents rented homes. We got evicted. We'd have the electricity turned off, the water turned off. And, you know, it's funny. Some nights we would have candles. And looking back, you know, some of those were the best moments with my siblings and with my family. And, you know, my parents are great people. I love them. They're probably the hardest workers I know, if I'm being truthful and transparent. They are super hard workers. But the irony of all this and what it taught me at a young age is not really just how hard you work. It's also how you work and how you apply the work you're doing. Because I watched my mentor, I mean, and he worked hard, but not nowhere near, you know, and my mom would detail boats. She worked in a fruit field and, you know, they gathered oranges and they, you know, get them ready and polish them to sell in farmers markets and fruit stands. My dad was in sales, so I kind of got that from him. And he would work these long hours, you know, doing these moving sales jobs. And I'd watch them work all the time, but never get ahead, you know. There's been times, you know, in the States, they have an income tax, right, where you get back a portion of your taxes. So, you know, for about a week or two, we'd go all out, right? And it's kind of looking back, the typical poor thing poor people do. You blow all your money, right, the second you get some. But we go to the carnival. You know, my parents did the best they could, just to be fair, and I love them to death. But the crazy part is at this, at 13 years old, the writing on the wall was very clear, right? Meaning it's not just how hard you work, it's working hard and working smart at the same time. And this is how I got into direct mail. My mentor I worked in a mail room. I would walk in, and funny story, I was actually working at a golf course and also McDonald's before this. This was kind of a part-time thing I would do with my friend whenever I was with him. We'd go into his parents' office, his dad's office, and then we would do odd jobs for, you know, $20, $50. And, you know, we'd help with something small. And, you know, to me, that was exciting because I got to bring home some money and make some money while I was there. And I ended up actually transitioning from working at McDonald's at 14 and also this golf course to working for them full time, because I realized I could work in a nice, cool office. The golf course was super hot and a lot of hard work. You know, I'm weed whipping around lakes and divots and all these things on the golf course in Florida. So just imagine that. And then McDonald's, I don't care where you are in the world, right? A greasy fast food restaurant is never fun, right? And so, you know, that's any climate. So I realized, hey, I can make more money than all my friends. I can sit in this really nice, cushy chair in this beautiful office. And I worked inside of a mail room, meaning I would help get direct mail piece mailings ready, send them out. Then we would fulfill different products that they were selling through the mail. And this is when it came full circle. And I, because I got to see exactly how it worked, because I knew it started out with them sending out a 4-page letter, 6-page letter, sometimes a 10-page letter, but basically a bundle of paper, right? They'd mail it out. And then from there, I would watch them sell products that would range from $20, $40, $50, $100. And then some products were even thousands, which I'll talk more about that in a second. Those are things they would sell on the back end. But anyway, so I would watch this process and I'm like, wow, you know, literally these people are making millions of dollars by sending out a couple pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, postage, the envelope, and selling these products. And in the time, it was in personal development. This was in the late 90s going into the early 2000s. And Mary Kay was very popular. And they actually had product packages and books and things that would help a lot of Mary Kay agents and people that, you know, were in the Mary Kay cosmetic business. And it was interesting because I got to see people from all walks of life. You know, what was funny is you could always spot the Mary Kay ladies because their email addresses would be like, you know, pinkcadillacdrivingbetty@gmail.com. And I don't know if you know this, but in the Mary Kay business, when you achieve a certain level, they gift you a car, but you have to paint it pink. And actually, it was Cadillacs. So what's funny, and get this, this is crazy. I was actually driving one of my sports cars down the road, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's an interesting Cadillac, because it was like this magenta pink. It was a really interesting color pink. And I got closer up to it, and sure enough, it said Mary Kay Specialist, and it had her website below it.
Brilliant.
So today, in 2021, they are still giving out pink Cadillacs, which is pretty funny. But yeah, so it was crazy, right? Because it was just all walks of life, from younger people, Mary Kay specialists. You know, I would go ahead, and I worked in the mailroom, and then finally I would hear my so it was a kind of a family business where my friend worked there. His dad owned the business. His parents were working there as well, and they were retirement age. You know, the one was an educator in school, public schools here in America. So he was working there, and it actually had like 20 staff members total. And so I would go from the mailroom to I'd walk over when the phones would get busy, and I would pick up the phone just to help basically take orders over the phone. Because what happened is they would mail out a direct mail piece, and then people would get those. And the internet was still kind of new, but they had the capability to go online and check out, but it was still a newer thing. Most people either sent back the order form with a check, money order, cash, or they fill out a credit card on the order form, or they would call in the office and place an order that way. Again, funny story, kind of like the Mary Kay story, right? Almost 20 years later, we still do the exact same process.
Right.
Where in my office, we collect stacks of cash. Crash is still people send. It's very minimal, just to be fair. It's probably, you know, 0.5% of our sales comes in through cash. But it's funny, people will still send $97 in the mail to get a product package. And we still take orders over the phone. Funny story, my mentor would have people fax in their orders every single day. Now, up into 2021, we probably get one or two a month. But believe it or not, people still fax in an order. It boggles my mind. I don't even have a fax machine. If you, I think it's through like 1-800 conference call. They have a fax line you can buy for like $20 a month or something. So I keep that just in case. Giggles. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if the internet goes down, I can send out faxes or don't get.
Because what year was it that you got started?
So this is in the early 2000s.
Okay,
is in this era. So get this, right? You're thinking, okay, how'd you get into the internet marketing scene? And just to kind of bridge that gap really quick, my mentor had a mentor named Corey Rudel, and he's out of Canada. And I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he basically started internetmarketing.com was his website. And Tony Hsieh, the owners of Zappos, you know, credited him and was his mentor. Jermaine Griggs, who's like the poster child for Infusionsoft, and he has Hear and Play Music, came in through him. And I could list the internet marketing veterans and, you know, for the next hour, name people that are doing huge things today and have been for the last couple decades that came up under Corey. And Corey told my mentor, like, hey, writing's on the wall, the internet is where to go. And he said, you should really be focused on internet. See, do the same thing you're doing offline, because basically we'd had a name and address and we would send them a physical piece of mail. He said, well, now you have a name and email address. You can email them and save the money on your hard costs. We still were continuing to do direct mail because it was actually the bread and butter, and I'll talk about this more in a second, the most highest converting stuff and still is to this day. But the fact was, is people were also doing a lot of online marketing. So what happened was my mentor saw the writing on the wall, and we had a CRM, a client resource management software, that we would physically punch in all of our direct mail orders. So someone bought offline, they paid cash, they've sent in a money order, we'd put in their first name, last name, the product they purchased, and then their email address. And this was back when everyone had either an AOL email address or a Yahoo email address were the two big providers back then. And my mentor noticed in the CRM, you could push a button and email your entire customer base, right? So I don't know if you ever heard of the product called the Butterfly Marketing, but it was with Mike Filsaime. He did $1 million a day promoting it. And my mentor sold over $150,000 worth of – we were number two affiliate behind Rick Raddatz. Russell Brunson was behind us.
Wow.
This is dating ourselves. Yeah. And how basically we ranked in that product launch was by emailing our direct mail customer base. And from there, right, we would sell out events, workshops. Michael Chaney, we were actually his very first speaking gig in 2008. He came over with Laura, and he's you know, a marketing legend in the UK. But he was one of the early adapters that was crushing it on ClickBank and these affiliate platforms. But yeah, so it was crazy how, you know, we still continue to mail, and we always mail, and we never stopped that. But from that point forward, we would include email marketing. Teleseminars was a big thing. So we would email people and send out direct mail pieces, pushing everyone to a teleseminar. Now we know it's all, you know, webinars and interviews like this and podcasts. So it's kind of funny because the teleseminar stuff's kind of coming back in different forms in podcast, Clubhouse, for example. It's just a complete audio, you know, thread. But yeah, it's kind of funny to watch the evolution. Because so to answer your question, sorry for the long drawn answer. 13 is when I got my start in the early 2000s. And that's how we went from an offline marketing company to an offline marketing company and an online marketing company, was basically through the industry and through mentors and people that were paving the way to where we're at today.
And just keeping that vision, I guess, of what may come next, so that, you know, you're always able to maneuver into those new markets. And I guess a question for you, Ryan, would be for anybody who's listening or reading this who doesn't really understand the differences between internet marketing and direct mail or direct marketing, could you just maybe give us your view on that?
Yeah, 100%. So how I would compare the two is one is a virtual online process, where the other one is an offline and physical, right? So instead of seeing it virtually through a Facebook ad, Instagram ad, YouTube video, social media post, an email, right? Those are all online touch points. And what we focus on is long-form sales letters, postcards. We even send out what we call lumpy mail. And actually, Nick and Kate do an amazing job with this, where they send out an entire product package. And we do the same in several different industries that we market and serve. And really what we do is you know, what I love about direct mail you know, you can be as inexpensive as, you know, 17, 20 cents for a mass market, you know, postcard flyer, or you can spend, you know, 85 cents to a couple of dollars and send out a more, you know, bulkier package or a product kit. And then you can spend dozens of dollars, right, and fulfill big product packages. But the point is anything, you know, that they're receiving physically is direct mail and offline. And really, so the next question is okay, Ryan, when do we know to spend the 17 cents or the $50, right? And for me, how I gauge that is from what we're selling, right? So if someone's coming in as a lower ticket, you know, responder off of one of our direct mail pieces, meaning they're spending $20, $50, anything under $100, then depending on how much they spend is what they're receiving in the mail. It could be as simple as a poster and a USB or a, you know, 10-page booklet, or, you know, USBs, an entire product series, DVDs, booklets, manuals, more books, and, you know, a step-by-step process for them to maneuver through the content. So you can get as elaborate as you want. But to answer your question, direct mail is anything in the physical form. So, you know, where we focus at is basically making that touch point, because here's the thing, right? Tony Robbins taught this back in, I want to say the early 2000s or mid 2000s, was these touch points. And it was with Stanford University, a business school. And basically for someone to purchase a product, you had to have, you know, 6, 8, 10 touch points for them to buy. So let's say, for example, McDonald's, you hear the jingle, you get the coupon, you see the big golden arches on the billboard, you drive by and, you know, you get a radio ad, and, you know, you get your newspaper clipping in the mail, right? But the point is after 6, 8 times of those touch points, you would go in and consume a product, buy, you know, a Cappy Meal or a Big Mac. Now, fast forward to today, they did the same study, you know, a decade and a half, 2 decades later, and those touch points have skyrocketed. We're talking, you know, dozens of touch points for people to buy. And why is that? Because we're in this digital era, right? Mm-hmm. We're on 10 different apps. We have multiple email accounts, right? Back in the day when you would hear the "you got mail" iconic AOL message, you run over and you would check your mail. Right? Nowadays, you want to even, you know, check your mail, your virtual mailbox. But what's funny is it's happened basically to go 360, where people are excited to check their mailbox because of Amazon getting packages, whatever the case may be. And back then, people dreaded checking their mailbox because you got tons of junk mail. So it's kind of funny how we're in this renaissance. It's kind of gone 360. Yeah. And what I love is direct mail is the only marketing option that you can basically have a touch point and, you know, go ahead and remarket to someone over and over and over again, because people call our office and they say that. They say, "Oh, your booklet's been sitting on my table for the last 2 weeks and I've been going through it." A Facebook ad, an Instagram ad, you know, once they get the ad, sure, you can do retargeting and spend more money. But what I love about direct mail is once you have that piece out, you can continue making that touch point and continue marketing to them without spending more money. right? So that's what I love about direct mail, is it basically lets you connect that dot without, you know, and make that touch point without continuing to reinvest and spend more. And does that mean people don't throw out the mail? Of course they do, right? And people will eventually maybe toss a book. But the point is in our experience, it's your biggest bang for your buck, because that physical piece can circulate. You can make it into a poster. You can make it into a mini billboard, a resource. And that's what we do when we use our direct mail. So literally, you know, you can take up real estate in someone's home, in someone's office, and, you know, someone's work area. Where before, right, on an email, a digital ad, you can't do that. Right, it's once they see it, it's done. They keep scrolling, and whatever the case may be.
And you're absolutely right. I think that the inbox has become, you know, busier and busier and busier. And the impact of an email years ago was it great? I've got an email. I will read it immediately. And these days, of course, we all receive so many emails that those messages start to drop down our inbox really, really quickly. So if somebody doesn't read that email straight away, almost the impact of it can be lost, you know, forever. Whereas with a direct mail piece that lands on the doormat, you know, there's less traffic now on the doormat than there perhaps has ever been. So it means that your message is printing through a lot clearer than it is if you're just sending emails.
Yeah, you're 100% right. 100% right.
Now, a lot of people who perhaps are listening or reading this may be a little bit cautious of direct mail and getting involved in it themselves because of the actual cost. Email these days is seen as free. What's your take on that, Ryan?
Well, it's kind of funny, right? Because even email technically isn't free, right? Because you have to spend money to accumulate the list. And sure, right, you can make a TikTok video or be the biggest YouTube star next or whatever, right? And get free traffic and build a list. But in reality, right, let's just kind of paint the picture clear here. The odds of doing that is almost like the odds of hitting the lottery, right? Meaning you're going to be the next TikTok star and make millions by posting a video or, you know, this have a built-in audience. So the truth is no matter which way you slice it, if you're starting a business and you're marketing online, even email marketing costs money if it's solo ads, if you're driving social media traffic. So I think every serious business owner understands that, you know, the lifeblood of any business is marketing. You got to pay to acquire your ads. I know, Nick and Kate do tons of direct mail, right? And so they get the concept. They also do tons of, online ads and paid traffic. So when it comes down to it, the cost is actually much more less than your traditional ad costs, right? And we look at it as customer acquisition. And, you know, because the truth is you can spend $50 to acquire a $10 sale on, you know, Facebook ads, and you're doing good, because ideally, right, you have a funnel, and then that $10 sale will equate to hundreds within the funnel, and then the back end is where people make their money. So again, I'm kind of going into the book funnel, right, process, but traditionally it's how it works, right, is you spend a dollar to make two, or spend a dollar to make one, so you have the chance to make more on the back end. And what I love about direct mail is at a 1% conversion rate, and we hit 2-3%. Our last mailing did a 6% conversion.
Wow.
But let's just say a 1% conversion rate at a $97 price point, you're in the profit just by sending out a direct mail piece. Meaning you send out 1,000 pieces, right? It's going to cost you $850. That's including the list fee to send out the 1,000 pieces. And that's give or take depending on how big your mailing is. So just using, you know, round numbers here. But the cool part is at a $97 price point, right, you get a 1% on 1,000 pieces, that's 10 sales. You just made $970 on the $850, right? Just basic math. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is if you have any marketer that hears this knows what I'm talking about, you make your money on the back end. So you don't make your money, for example, Russell is a good friend of ours, and we were in his top 10 affiliates when they launched ClickFunnels. How we did it was we send out a direct mail postcard, and we email their buyer base pushing the book. The truth is Russell or myself didn't make money selling the book, right, .com secrets. Where we made our money was the back-end subscription to the software, which everyone knows is their big funnel builder. I won't name it by name, but people can read between the lines, right? But you that's where you make your money, right? Is the back end software, the back end service, the back end offer, whatever it may be. So, you know, same thing applies for the direct mail campaign. If you have your front end offer between $50 to $100 and getting between 1-2% conversion, you're in the money just off of your front end push. Now we all know, right, why we do this is the back end offers and helping people more and bringing people down the customer path of serving. And when you do all those things, gradually you charge more money because you're servicing 10%, 20%, 30% of those front end buyers, and that's where the money adds up very quick. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, really, it's cheaper from our tests. I mean, we do Facebook ads. We've spent, multiple six figures on Facebook alone. We spent tons of money on YouTube. What's funny is all my friends to this day are basically the quote unquote gurus in these different spaces.
Right.
So I get the behind the scenes numbers on, what Justin's spending on YouTube traffic, and he's spending $300,000 a month solely on YouTube, or what my buddy David is spending. He's spending $4 million a month on social media. Mm-hmm. So, I know the basic numbers on what they're getting, and I know what we're getting, and we spent tons of money on it. And again, dollar for dollar, looking at the research, looking at the numbers, in our experience, offline marketing is way more economical. So to answer your question, do you have to spend $100,000 mailer piece to get started? Of course not. My mentor showed me a case study where he spent $300. For me, my very first mailing was under $1,000, and then I had a loan for $3,500, and I turned $4,500 into shy of $60,000.
Wow.
In about 70 days, all through direct mail. How is that possible? It was because out of those 5,000, collective dollars on marketing budget, I was able to send out, about, I want to say 6,500, 7,000 pieces, but we were hitting 2-3% conversion rate. We literally had hundreds of buyers come in, and out of the hundreds of buyers, we serviced dozens of people on the back end, and we were charging anywhere between 2,000 to 5,000. So the numbers add up very quick when you have the process in play. But what's so strong about direct mail is the entire touch point, the entire process is a different than what people are doing online. Because let's face it, right? And I don't throw stones because we do this, right? It's kind of funny because my friends are like, Ryan, are you dogging webinars? Of course not. We do them weekly, right? And we make a lot of money on webinars. Funny, we send out direct mail pieces to fill webinars. So I would never dog them because they do work. But I must say the secret that I've learned is using webinars, social media ads, and even our direct mail stuff, it's using it in conjunction. I call it, direct mail 2.0, my mailbox secrets, right? It's kind of the tagline.
Yeah.
And secret is using Facebook ads, Instagram ads, your direct mail piece. We even do follow-up pieces where people get postcards, one to two page letters that give case studies and follow-up after they buy the product that also coincide with the emails they're receiving and the social media ads they're seeing. So really, it's in combination of all those moving parts to dial in and get a winning campaign. But to answer your question, you can literally start with hundreds to, a couple thousand in my case, and snowball it, right? Just like a social media ad. We used to teach you could start off with your campaigns on $5 ad budgets. Now, the truth is it's very unlikely to make a multi-million-dollar business from just a simply $5 ad budget, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I spent $5, now I have millions. That doesn't typically happen, but it's the snowball effect, right? The $5 turns into 10, 15, then you take the 10, 15 and keep half. Now you have $7 instead of five, right?
Yeah.
Turn it into 30, right? Now you have 30 and so on and so forth. Same applies here, right? You start off with smaller lists, mailings, and smaller pushes. And last week we had 40,000 pieces go out.
Wow.
Right. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it just shows you how quick, you can take off once you have the numbers dialed in. And full transparency, right? We've even had a huge mailing, so where we actually had some challenges this pandemic, this election season. I know worldwide they're not having this issue, in some countries. But in America, with election season, came these huge slow-ups at the postal, U.S. Postal Services. Still to this day, we're talking, you know, election season was in November, we're in April, and there's still a backup, and some of the mailings are taking days and additional weeks that, you know, used to take 1-2 days. But the crazy part is it's still outperforming all of our digital ad spend. And now, instead of, you know, getting a first class letter across the country in 2-3 days, it's taken 5, 7, 8 days. So we're just, you know, accounting for the extra days for the direct mail to hit. But so, you know, you always have to bob and weave. And funny is we noticed an increase on people consuming the mail, and our stuff converted even better, where, you know, just because I think people were around more and they had more time on their hands. So we had some pros and some cons, you know, with the pandemic, the mailing slow up, certainly, you know, the old saying, time is money, especially when we were testing these mailing lists. And I made a huge mistake in a couple of lead sources I thought were working well. And I thought it was just slowed up, and come to find out it wasn't just slowed up. The lead source was also not working as well. And, you know, it was tens of thousands of dollars worth of mistakes and, you know, lost income.
Yeah. How do you recover from that? I mean, because that is, I think, a lot of people's worry, that they're going to, you know, make a mistake and it's going to really impact them. Obviously, you know, you've got the economies of scale now. You've done this a million times, so you kind of know what to look out for. But it's interesting to hear that even at this stage, Ryan, that, you know, mistakes can still happen.
100%, and it's all perspective, right? And that's kind of the name of the game of business. Is it just because it's kind of funny, right? There's an old rap song, right? More money, more problems.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's true, right? It's just you know, it just be, and the funny thing is right, you have more good days and bad days, right? And and it's kind of funny because I even hear people, the case studies, right? You'll have 70 good days out the year, so technically you have more bad than good, and you can analyze that. And I guess I don't look too much into it, but to how I kind of see all this, and to answer your question, is it's just I use an acronym called FINO, failure is no option. And I love my acronyms. I also have one for direct mail called LESS. I'll share that after.
Right, great.
But FINO is my marching beat, so to speak, on my mindset when it comes to business, comes to life. Because failure will happen, right? Even to the start of my business, I had these ups and downs. At 13, I made a lot of, or had an awesome connection and a good mentor. And in my late teens, early 20s, was making six figures and life-changing, was quote-unquote rich. So then I lost it all, right? And due to bad decisions and partying and, you know, the glitz and glamour. And so then I relaunch, right? And had some money coming in and doing well. And then I get taken advantage of in a business deal, right? And oh man. And then, you know, I relaunch again and have some success. And so point is you always have those ups and those downs. And even today, right? We had a mailing that cost me tens of thousands on mistakes. But how I rebound from that, right? And I really focus on my mindset, two things, the mindset and the method behind what you're doing. Now they say, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So what I didn't do is I didn't mail the same list that
right
bombed.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the stupid thing is I did it once before and said, okay, I'm not gonna do it the third time, because I thought it was held up, I thought the mail was lagging, I thought all these different things. So it was a large mailing that did very, very well for me about 8 months prior. But the crazy part is what I realized is those leads were just kind of running its course, and, you know, it was kind of done. But I thought the mail was held up, so I mail them again and get a double push out of it. Was my thinking that it'll all come in at once, right?
Yeah.
We'll high five and we'll buy the yachts and the exotic cars and have fun, right? Sadly, the mistake, and it didn't happen that way, and it all didn't come in at once, right? Nothing came in, or some came in, but a fraction of what I spent. And you know, that, and I've had this happen in my, it's because now we've been blessed, and you know, we've been ventured into supplements, and we were in the top 1% sellers on Amazon. We have a software on a big affiliate platform, one of the biggest affiliate platforms out there, and we were one of their top vendors, and our launch did 7,500 units sold in a matter of a month.
Nice.
5,000.
Nice.
Yeah. So even in these software businesses that. And we, funny story, we do direct mail and we use direct mail with those businesses. But some of them are a lot of traffic online focus because they're softwares that help people with traffic tactics and traffic methods. So, right, you have the message market match, right? It's kind of foolish to send everyone a postcard on doing a traffic tactic, which is funny. We actually do it and it works well. But point is we also know there's a pond to fish in online that we don't neglect and we can make money from. So we do that as well in conjunction. And even in all these different businesses I just described, right, in our education series that's offline, our supplements on Amazon, our softwares on these affiliate networks, they've all had bumps in the road and issues, right? It's, again, going back to the, you always will have issues. You always will have things happen. But what I do is I look at it, right, and try to see what worked before and what was working at the time that it was working, and then where I'm pivoting and what's going wrong to get me back on track. Mm-hmm. And for me, and this is where the LESS acronym comes in, right? So FINO, failure is no options, the mindset. But the methods and what I do is less, doing less to produce more. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme saying that you do nothing to make money, right? LESS is an acronym, which is lead source, which is where your data, where your traffic's coming in from. The envelope structure, because this is a direct mail quote or campaign, so how your marketing is going out. You can use the analogy as well as digital. How's your emails going out? How's your marketing, your sales page, your VSL, mm-hmm. your video, right? But how is the appearance? And then the first S is the selling sales piece or the postcard, or we even do a shock and awe kit. So what comes in the mail, which is your booklet. I mentioned Nick does an amazing job with his, which is, a mouse pad, USB, an entire product series people get. So that's the first S. Then the last S is your selling process, what you're doing on the back end after you acquire the sale. So just to kind of recap, right, the lead source, if it's a direct mail campaign, is, if it's the internal data, am I renting the list from a list broker? So at this case, it was the data issue, right? Because my envelope structure was fine, my sales piece was fine, mm-hmm. the selling process was fine, just a lead source. I've had all these issues where I've had some, even the envelope structure today is a nice, clean structure. We do handwritten font. Now, to be crystal clear, we do internal mailings and we'll skimp out on this because we have really good leads, right? So the thing is the envelope structure needs to convert well to a cold list, the people that aren't, that don't know you, like you, trust you. So we have pushed mailings out internally that have, had labels on it and just, maybe it's a bold font instead of handwritten font. But just to backtrack and talk about winning campaigns going to cold audiences, I noticed the envelope structure makes a big difference.
Right.
Because if it's this generic, ugly piece that's looks like junk mail, it'll be treated like that.
Yeah, I guess as well if it looks like a bill,
Right, right. And people do that. Well, they'll send checks, and what we do, so I'll tell you our winning formula, is it looks like a card. It's like a 6x9 colored envelope. So one was like a light green, a dark blue. And they're like, what is this, right? It's a handwritten font. And it'll, we'll have, special, what is it? Special notice enclosed. So, is this an RSVP to a wedding? Is this, nice. What is this? And that's been our winning piece. What we'll do is we'll take it a step further. In springtime, we'll put a bunny on it, and maybe a flower. The wintertime rolls around. We'll have, a snowflake on it, or maybe a Christmas man, or, Merry Christmas. Or, we'll do different things depending on the season with that letter, with the envelope structure. But for me, I found out that was a big area of focus that can help convert cold traffic or colder than your internal lists. So that's what we focus on. Then the sales letter is, headline, subheadline, your body, facts tell, story sell. So we'll have a lot of stories in the copy, I've realized. And then a strong call to action. Which is the first S in the less acronym, your sales piece. And then the last S is your selling process, right? We love to bring people, we have more of a white glove service. So we call every person that spends $10 or $1,000. We make sure they get our products. We make sure they're logged in. We follow up. We send out a follow-up letter series that are resources, help them use their product, but also promoting and offering the next offer, right? How we can help them even more. Then we, you know, release our retargeting ads and emails and videos. So that selling process, the last S, is equally as important as the first three letters. L-E-S-S is less. So L-E-S is pretty much your mailing process, lead source, envelope, the sales piece. That's getting it mailbox ready, right? Getting it sent out. Then the last S is what you're doing, you know, once the person comes into your organization. So what I do, right, no matter what, and if it's an online business, an offline business, I focus on that less acronym. And again, just to, you know, I guess repeat myself, you sometimes have to customize it. So your lead source isn't coming from a list broker at 14 cents each that you're mailing. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's solo ads. Maybe it's radio. Maybe wherever your traffic source, your eyeballs are coming in from. So I look at those methods, right? The Pheno analogy, failure is no option, in that mindset. And I expect it to happen because it will, right? I mean, I've had huge things, you know, so I realized, you know, I used to tear me up, used to beat me up. So two categories, your mindset, right, with the Pheno mantra, failure is no option mindset, for me has been key, because I've been in these times where it could have been a speed bump in the road. And if I'm being full transparent, I've allowed it to be a pothole and a divot and create a flat tire. Mm-hmm. And because of my mindset for it, right. And just, got me off kilter. So I'm really, really important now to say, okay, issues are going to happen, right? Failure will happen. I can't let it be the dictating factor and keep me in that spot, right? In this flat tire analogy, right? If it's a speed bump or a small divot, maybe you can go around it or avoid it, right? Maybe if you do hit it, well, how fast can you get out and put on the spare, right? You're going to cry there for 2 hours and, okay, you know, or call AAA, get them here and put on the spare and take off again, right? So, you know, that's what I've realized is the failure will happen, but when it does, I go back to my fundamental, well, how and where and what do I need to fix. In this case, it was the lead source thing. I did a couple small things and went from less than 0.5% conversion up to 6% conversion. Talk incredible. About a night and day difference.
Incredible.
You know, we're talking losing tons of money to now making tons of money.
Yeah. I mean, so many key takeaway points that you've just kind of gone through there, including, you know, a lot of the messaging afterwards is the reinforcing, isn't it? You've got that down to a T in many ways, that once somebody has bought the product, you actually follow up with them as well to, I guess, in a way, take away some of the buyer's remorse that people sometimes have.
Right, 100%, right? Because that's the facts are, and I'm a consumer, right? So this is me, right? I mean, I have my boating stuff, and I spend a bunch of money on my boating stuff. I don't even calculate it because I probably get out of boating. and I look at myself, right? You have buyer's remorse. We get gym memberships. We buy tons of stuff. And what's funny is, you know, what I look at is what keeps me engaged, right? Mm-hmm. Or people that maybe go the extra mile. It's very easy for me to, you know, unsubscribe and leave a service that's not serving me, right? So that's what I realized is being, I've heard Dan Kennedy quote before, is in order to be a good, to sell a lot of products and a good seller, you must be a good buyer, right? Right. And I've taken that quote literally, right? But it's kind of funny, right? Because it's all perspective. But we're into RVing and camping. We're into, you know, our boating stuff. We have lots of other things where we love and passions, and my daughter's art stuff and karate. And what's funny is we've bought in tons of product services that have been very easy to have buyer remorse over and say, you know what, this is not really what it was meant to be. It was an impulse buy and I'm done. Now, do I say not to give refunds and don't, you know, like obviously not at all. If it's not a fit, if it's not a match, then, you know, you refund the the client and you move on and, you know, you part ways. But what I've realized is you can be more of a service and more of an asset when you add in these factors, where it's a white glove service. So now they're getting resources in the mail. And then they think, wait a minute, those pesky competitors aren't doing this. They're not giving me resources. So I'm going to stick with Ryan, right? Or maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a whatever the case may be, right? But those added touch points, in our experience, go a long way, a very long way, even on services that I purchased. I'm a huge consumer, right? And there's probably not a coaching program or a product I haven't purchased, just to be full transparent. I'm on everyone's buyer list, and I love to buy products, and I still do, because in order to be a good seller, you must be a good buyer, right? And but the point is there's, you're just like you said, there's have been, if you buy something and you don't get an email from it and you can't access it, talk about a buyer remorse.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
The sad part is, and the sad part is sometimes that stuff is accidental, right? Because it's have happened, right? Where email servers get crossed or whatever the case may be. But what I've realized is you fix those small issues, right? Okay, so the email stuff, you hear from some feedback, you hear whatever the case may be. And then you make those changes, those edits. And for us, that's been a huge factor with, you know, keeping happy clients happy keeping in the ecosystem.
Completely.
So,
I mean, it sounds to me as though, you know, you've over the years, you've kind of almost put yourself in the position of the person receiving that direct mail piece, so that, you know, you are treating your guys like the way you would like to be treated yourself. Is that fair to say?
100%, right. And here's the, so actually this was actually full transparency. I sold this one service, right? And it was a couple $100 and a month, and it was a back-end service, and there was a lot of issues with it, right, where people weren't getting emails. I was using a specific mail server, which I won't name, that was tied into a funnel builder that wasn't sending out, and it still is a known issue. And, you know, so it was just all these things. So what I did was I said, well, how can I make this better? And granted, it was only like 20 people, right? So I personally called every single person and said, you know what, this wasn't a coaching offer, this wasn't a one-on-one offer, but we've had some issues. I said, you know, you have access to the back end members area. There's an over the shoulder training, but I'm also, how can I serve you? How can I personally work with you? And out of those 20 people, there's 6 or 7 of them that I actually worked with personally. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get more money from it. I didn't sell them on stuff. I said, you know what? No, this is, I just want to serve. And the crazy part about it was the conversions on people getting into my back end programs or back end stuff was astronomical, huge numbers. Why? Because I went from, hey, we did have an issue, we had a mistake, but here, I'm going to over-deliver and actually help out more. And actually, you know, how can I make this better? And people receive that. And out of those 20 people, we brought in tens of thousands of dollars in back-end services by not even trying to sell them at first. It wasn't even an option. We didn't even sell them. I just said, you know what? I'm going to personally call them and message them. And I put my staff on it to people that didn't return a phone call. They would do follow-up calls, and we would get in contact with them. And the feedback on that one scenario has been worth multi-millions to me. Right.
Wow.
And so that's like one example, you know, because stuff will happen, you know, and again, failure is no option for a reason, because failure will happen. We will have issues. But it's what I've realized, it's how you handle those issues, right? Mm-hmm. It's how you, you know, approach them and what you do next that will dictate the outcome overall.
It's great advice. I mean, that you know, you're sharing and such incredible kind of insights and behind the scenes about how you operate, Ryan. I mean, it's amazing to see and hear. How can we find out more about you and also your course, Mailbox Secrets?
Yeah, thanks so much. So it's really simple, mailboxsecrets.com can get you access. It's a multi-book series, and we send out resources. If you want to just hack the process and see the follow-ups and all that fun stuff, that's one way of doing it for, I think it's $89, the low price. And that will get you into my world. I'm on social media. The Ryan Allaire is, you know, Facebook, Instagram. We post tons of content, tons of of case studies. So ideally, you could, you know, just jump on Facebook or Instagram and just kind of see the stuff we produce daily, weekly, monthly, and then also mailboxsecrets.com. There's an option there if you don't want the product to just get on our resource list and our newsletter list and get updates. And yeah, I really do appreciate you having me, and it's been a fun...
Oh, it's been amazing. And can I just say as well, Mailbox Secrets come so highly recommended. I know you mentioned that people, you know, may not want to actually grab the product, but it's one of those must reads. If this is an industry that interests you, both online marketing and offline marketing, or a combination of the two, then Mailbox Secrets is possibly one of the pivotal products that you have to read, so that you get like that depth of knowledge. And Ryan shared so much already in the time that we've spent together. You can imagine how much more you're going to learn if actually you immerse yourself in Ryan's world altogether. So definitely worth checking out, mailboxsecrets.com. Ryan, once again, thank you so much. We've covered so much ground here, and thank you for taking us on that journey.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, I know we have a lot of awesome things planned ahead with you guys, right? Nick and Kate, and we won't even talk about it right now, but just to be on the lookout, right? And to be in store for some fun stuff that we're in discussing behind the scenes. Spoiler alert, it might include a live in-person interaction event. So I'm excited for that coming up when the pandemic stuff fades away and the vaccines and all that fun stuff, you know, is taking effect and people are communicating again and in person. So I would say be on the lookout for that. You know, anything I can do on the topics of direct mail, just let me know, and I'd love to be a resource, help out wherever I can. And thanks again for having me here, and looking forward to doing more with you guys in the near future.
Thank you for listening. To keep up to date with all things Marketing Bugle podcast, join my free email updates, which includes a regular downloadable magazine to help you with your business marketing online. Visit martinbrown.com. That's Martin with a Y.